Well, I'm here this morning, and I think you are here because you're also interested on this research. I was a graduate student last summer, and I finished my studies, and since 2007 I have been working on different, this is like an evolution study. I have been working on my PhD. Last year I was unable to attend a lot, so I'm here to kind of remind people what I have been doing in the last years, plus the summary of the last part, the portion of the study. It's not working. Okay. So we all know why salinity is important, why it's becoming so important in the world, mainly because many regions in Africa, in Asia, they are suffering from drought situations, which is correlated to some degree to salinity. Of course, drought is important because water is declining and we need some plants that they can sustain for us to have our commodities. But at the same time, the water, as it's decreasing, there's more saline sediments in the positions within in that water. And that is what is affecting the irrigation practices and overall the plant performance. We know that there are genotypes of varieties that they perform well in different environments and they all act different. But and all of them have different traits and physiological responses as well as they need different methodologies for breeding, for the continuation of the breeding process. So the objective of this research was to identify genotypes with salt tolerant characteristics and understand the effect of growth on cotton. In addition to that, was to be able to use the hydroponic system to look at the responses and be able to identify these lines to include them in a breeding program. For this program, also the most important at the end, the finale, is to be able to have cotton that produce a good fiber quality. The study has to be realistic, measurable, achievable, being able to determine resistant, tolerant, and susceptible genotypes while allowing for quantitative and qualitative analysis. The materials used for this was the hydroponic system, a germinator, RO water, trying to emulate all kinds of other salts in the water, area meter or to measure the leaf surface area, several microscopes, and definitely the HPI. The hydroponic system is very simple. It's just like a fish tank. It is very feasible, it's practical. You can do it so many times throughout the year. After that, those plants that survived the treatment, they were transferred into soil media and then evaluated and taken into the field and then the HPI. This is a little sampling how each hydroponic type is determined. So it's about 80 plants in each container, and it takes about 12 days for the test to start for the test to start. Salt treatments are added every 4 or 8 hours. The good thing about this, the hydroponics, is that you can also visualize or do some kind of cold stress or heat stress evaluation. This is a little sampling of one of the studies that they were done, and you can randomize this as many times as you like, and you can do as many tops as you like. So for this study, I started with wild collection accessions from the USDA in College Station. And there were 219 accessions. Those accessions, they started from Arboreum, Herbaceum, Barbadens, Hirsutums, and they all came from different parts of the world. The ones that they appeared to be the most tolerant was the ones from Mexico. In addition to that, I used some commercialized to compare and look at the performance. So I used the Cocker 212, Delta Pine 491, Fibermax 989, and Fibermax 958. Fibermax 989 was the one that it was the most consistent, and every year, since 2006 I have been using as a control line. In addition to that, I use two transgenic lice developed from Dr. Hong Sang at the Texas State University. These are lines that the genes from the Arabidopsis were introduced to a Cocker 312. For phenotyping, when you have the wild accessions, they're processed. So first we start by phenotyping plant performance, how those plants are going to be, if they're actually usable for us. So a series of targets that were selected for the study. We look at the growth habit, the spread, the structure of the plant height, different foliage characteristics like color, hairiness, and glands, and so on. Then afterwards, those plants that they have produced good ball size, we are able to look at the ball size, the structure of the ball, the peduncle length. That is important because the more you have of vegetative growth, that is going to increase problems for producers at harvest time. And then definitely we look at the fiber quality, because some varieties may do very well as in plant height performance, but they will produce little length or short length. The treatment layout was basic. First of all, it consists of 91.2 grams of salt treatment every 48 hours. So using the ultrameter, we are able to detect the increase on the concentration of conductance in this hydroponic system. The water analysis report for the study started with, of course, with the RO water treatment that we use in the hydroponics, and we can see that the pH is acidic, it's almost neutral. The conductivity is about 500, and that means there's minimum of conductance of other hydrogens in there that I can change the effect on the conductance. There is sodium 500 parts per million, fluoride 1.625, that's low. While in Pecos, and the reason why I selected Pecos, Texas, is because that is one of the major regions in Texas that we are having difficulty with salinity problems. Pretty much it's finished. There is very little cotton grown in Pecos. So we have a research facility in there, and the problem with that region is that we have the water content, the water coming from the well is high in sodium chloride. But see, you can see here about the conductance. It's not too bad. And then here on the last column, we can see that this is the treatments, the results of the pH conductance, sodium and chloride, when the treatments to the maximum. Water level is considered to be about 30,000 parts per million. So this kind of gives you an idea of where we stand. So for the results, number one, we're able to identify one variety that is more tolerant than the others. This line was wild accession called Texas 307, but it did so well in the hydroponics that I was actually able to harvest seed from that line. So I call it the N1. So in 2008, I was able to take that to the Pecos field and start breeding population for that line. And then 2009, 10, 11, and 12, I have been collecting fiber quality, and also lately taking that to Lubbock, Texas, to the High Plains to see how that line performs. Of course, I already talked about transgenic lines. So within the results, that Texas 307, DN1, that is the wild accession that I selected to be salt tolerant. And there are two different kinds of phenotyping for that. For this study, I have results from the teal phenotyping as far as the wild accessions, and responses about how do you actually phenotype salt responses. Just keeping in mind that salt stress affects the physiological and physiological parts of the plant, and so we have to have some field evaluation. And For the also it was considered by Dr. Sack that root biomass was the number one factor that we are able to identify salt tolerance. So the first thing to do was to be able to take the seed and pre-treat in hot water, in saline water. So we have lines, we have salt treated and unsalt treated. Then I am able to organize the seed for the germinator, to be in the germinator, and look at the germination percent and viability. Once this line came out of the germinator, the characteristic of this line is that the root is extremely long. And with that, the lateral roots are developed very slowly. This is a picture of 12,000 parts per million of that of DN1 in the hydroponic system. And then here is part of, just to kind of explain how we measure the dry biomass of the plant, the leaf biomass, the stem, and then the last picture is how actually the root was measured each time. Another characteristic of DN1 is that the cochlear leaves are bigger than any plant I have seen among the wild, the commercial, and the transgenic lines. It's of 3.1 and 1.39 in comparison to the others, as you can see as an example. The reason why I numbered the lines as 1 to 3 is because I don't want to impose on commercial or other varieties. In the greenhouse, after I have seed from the last 5 years, I went and go ahead and planted about 120 plants, but I chose 4 of each at random. And I looked at the total leaf biomass per plant. And this is, of course, in centimeter squares, and we can see that, And we can see that through the years, since from 2008 to 2011, there is a significant change or decrease in leaf surface and biomass. Plant height is also decreased. Some physiological responses are in the xylem. There is a salt concentration, accumulations in the plant cells. I use a transmission electron microscope and I look at the accumulations in excess of the starch depositions. And then a very interesting picture is here is the within the stomata, there is salt excretions. Another physiological responses are the you can see here when the plants already not start to perform in the hydroponics at 8,000 parts per million, and we were able to also see algenic development of formations within the plant. That is something typical of halophyte material plants. So to kind of close this, the last part that I have done in this research was looking at the root biomass and compare that to the transgenic lines, because Dr. Sam, of course, believed that the Arabidopsis and the root development, that was the main reason for salt tolerance. So looking at these lines, we can I did the germination percent, I measured the root length, I did also the shoot length, and there were 4 treatments added during this study, and we can look at different, measure the coefficients of termination of the lines. To go very quickly here, because I'm almost out of time, the Cocker 312, you can look at, I'm going to pass this quickly, the 312, the Texas 307 of DN1, Delta Pine 491, Fibers Max 89, the transgenic line 68, the transgenic 86, they all show very little significance of variation. What does that mean? That means is that the wild plant is behaving like a transgenic line, which is similar to a commercial line. So there is potential in there to be able to continue with some molecular analysis and extract information for genetic analysis for salt tolerance. As far as fiber properties in 2008, DN1, you can see that the fiber distribution showed to be between 0.5 and 9. That is in 2008. In 2010 and 2011, we can see that there is a different change in length distribution. They have actually increased very much. And there is a lot of all the other fiber properties that have been improved. I wasn't able to give that information at this time, but I can get it later for you if you need to. So with closing remark is that the hydroponic system was an effective way to determine its easy You can look at actually root biomass, which some of you have looked at root biomass measured in soil. It's very difficult. This is very feasible to do. There is a lot of the actual responses to the salt stress that I have papers that they will be coming and being published about how do you actually identify these characteristics. I have the F5 generation for 2012 data that is coming out the next year. And I'm hoping to continue to advance this line and release it in the next couple of years. Many efforts are done for this study. It includes physiologists, includes breeders, includes geneticians, a lot of it's an involvement. It's a group of people that makes this work first feasible. But for me, I just Dr. Dick Oll. He was my mentor, and many times this is a long project, and many times one person can make a difference in your life, and he has. As well as Cotton Inc., who made me a fellow and gave me the funding that I needed to be able to take care of my work and the work for my student work in worker here on Boston. With that said, I hope I can help you in another way. If you need me, that is my email address. Thank you, and I take any questions.